Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 44, beginning at the sixth verse. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there's going to be a rock moving around among you. Just pass it around from one person to the next. Asher, maybe you could take it up forward. Just pass it from one person to the next, take a look at it, and pass it on. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do that, though, there's an old hymn, you know the words. Rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft from me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven, which from thy riven side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. And see, there's your big issue right there. Save me from sin's guilt and power. And to do that, you have the rock of ages. The rock of ages. Well, today's lesson, Isaiah 44, have I not from old declared this to you, says the Lord? You are my witnesses. Is there a God apart from me? Answer. No. Is there a God apart from me? No. There is no other rock. I know of not one. No other rock. I know of not one. Now, if you travel throughout our country, you will see lots of natural wonders in different parts of the country. Geological wonders, geophysical wonders, and you will see wonders like the rock that is being passed around for everybody to take a look at. Now, if you go through central Wisconsin, actually north central Wisconsin, nearby the town of Wausau, Wisconsin, you will come across a place called Rib Mountain. Rib Mountain. And if you have ever been there, or if you ever do go there, because you kind of got to go out of your way to get there, but if you ever do go there, you will probably chuckle. Being from Oregon, Rib Mountain doesn't look like a whole lot. It's about 670 feet from bottom to top, and we would say maybe that's not really a mountain. But if you come from the Midwest, where everything is as flat as a tabletop, it looks like a mountain to you. It looks pretty big. It looks pretty amazing. It's about as good a mountain as you're going to get. But the question is, what's it doing there? Because it's all by itself, all these flatlands, as far as the eye can see, and all of a sudden there's this sort of ridge in the middle of it all. Now, drawing from our own experience here in Oregon, we might say, well, maybe it's like our Siskiyou Mountains to the west. It's the product of plate tectonics. Rocks moving against each other, being pushed up by the moving of the continents and that sort of thing, because that's what those are from. On the other hand, we might look to the east and we might say, oh, maybe it came from volcanics. It came from ash and lava and things like that, because these are two very different geological realms on either side of the valley. Maybe it came from there. And if you guessed both of those Oregon ways of making mountains, you would be wrong. It doesn't come from that. What did Rib Mountain come from? Well, it is made up of, and I quote from geological source, an incredibly hard and durable type of rock, a type of quartzite which just does not like to erode. It does not erode very easily. Now, if you've had a chance to, where is the rock? Going way in the back there. If you had a chance to look at it, make sure it comes around to everybody, you will have to say to yourself, is this a beautiful rock? No, it's not. If rocks had faces, this would be a face that only a mother could love. It is not a beautiful rock. It is ugly. It has only one redeeming quality, and that is that it's very hard, very durable. And why is Rib Mountain there? because all the rocks around that quartzite were not long-lasting. They were not hard. They were not durable. And over time, with all of the erosion that happened, it all got eroded and washed downstream, probably end up in the Mississippi somewhere, all washed downstream. And what do you have left? You have the solid rock that's left, the only thing. And it stands above everything else. And it's a strange sight for that part of the country, because here you are looking around, and everything else in the distance is lower down and flat. So, Rib Mountain's still there. Everything else is gone. It's kind of like the old hymn, another old hymn. It says what? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Where'd it go? Washed away downstream. It's gone. There's nothing you can stand on. And so you have today's Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and its Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm the first, I'm the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it, and you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. All right, we'll let that rock continue to move around the sanctuary here as we switch gears for just a bit. And I would have you think for a moment about the words of John chapter 17. Jesus said, praying to his Heavenly Father, he said, Heavenly Father, righteous Father, the world does not know you. The world does not know you. And why does the world not know you? There's abundant evidence if you look around, all the things that we see, geological, geophysical, or whatever else in the world. You could say, yes, there's a God because I see such things and such marvels, but yet the world doesn't know you. And why does the world not know you? It does not know you because it doesn't know its own sin. And it does not know the peril that it's in. When the world even thinks about such things, it cannot imagine that it falls short of the glory of God. It cannot imagine that the wages of sin is eternal death. It assumes that all people of goodwill will find a place with God in eternity. And when it feels religious, it always comes up with the same belief, and that is, behavior brings blessing. Behavior brings blessing. Now, there is some truth to that. There is truth that those who live in a straight and clean way are often rewarded with this world's goods. But it doesn't carry over beyond the grave. It doesn't carry over into everlasting life. Everlasting life, eternity, is merited another way. And I'm going to repeat that. Eternity is merited another way. Merited. Now that does not sound appropriate coming from a Lutheran pulpit, talking about salvation, talking about merit. But it's true though. Salvation is merited. Only it wasn't merited by you. It was merited by somebody else. And that's where we have to part company with all the other religions of the world. And that's where we have to begin to recognize that there's one place that remains, one thing that is solid, one place that you could put your feet and everything else washes away. It doesn't work. It doesn't get you anywhere. Now, if you look at other belief systems, you'll recognize that they also teach morals, like Christians do. They teach behavior. They teach ethics. They teach proper conduct. They talk about helping others. They even talk about eternal things. But what they will do is place the meriting and the burden of such things upon you. You must be the solid rock. You have to be the solid one. You must be the rock. Which is really the greatest sin, if we can talk that way, the greatest sin of them all, because what are you doing when you talk like that? You're saying, Jesus, thanks for coming, but we don't need you. Please step aside. We'll take care of things. We'll step into the driver's seat. We'll drive the bus. We'll get things to go where they need to go. You push Jesus out of the driver's seat, and you put yourself there. And then what happens? Well, good luck. Experience and the Word of God teach you something different. Experience and the Word of God start to teach you what King David learned in his own life. It came to him only in adulthood, but he learned it later in life. He said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And so I have to part company with the religions of the world, and I have to do it. Why? Because I'm so learned and so intelligent and so wise and so good? No. We part company with religious belief systems in the world as Christians because not our superior lives, but our inferior lives. Our inferior lives. We know we fall short. We know, like the scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we come before God, we can never pray, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other people. Instead, we always have to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We know the only way you reach everlasting life is to find where the real rock is, the real rock that lasts and that is eternal. And our hope and trust is always that his life was enough, his death was enough, we are washed clean, we are righteous before Almighty God. And so you have today's lesson. Is there another rock? I don't know of any. Do you? Other salvation? No, they've all washed away. They're all gone. They're all out of the picture. And so you have today's Old Testament lesson. It says, don't be in dread, don't be afraid. And sometimes we get off track here. The world dreads things and it's afraid of things. But what's it afraid of? What is it dread? It's afraid of budget impasses. It's afraid of wars. It's afraid of health care problems. It's afraid of economic uncertainty. It's afraid of wars and enemies. And you and I are made of flesh and blood too, and these things frighten us too, and you can take your fears to Almighty God and cast all your anxieties upon him. But at the end of the day, that can't be your real occupation. What about this? What about that? What about the other thing? Your real occupation and concern is what? It's always sin and its consequences. Always the hymn, Rock, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. There's no other rock other than the Lord Jesus. Now, from an earthly standpoint, he was nothing to look at. Just like wherever the rock, who's got the rock now? Has it gone away, gone around everybody? All right, what was Jesus when he came into this world? Isaiah 53, nothing to look at. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by people, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. Nothing to look at from a human standpoint, but he did have one redeeming quality, didn't he? Actually, many, but one above all, and that is that he is our Redeemer. And he is the durable rock that remains when everything else erodes away. It's like the hymn once again, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And the Lord says, haven't I declared that to you? Have I not from old declared it to you? You're my witnesses of this. Is there any God apart from me? No. There is no other rock. All other ground is sinking sand. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen.